now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned into the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How was your holidays? How was Thanksgiving? Yeah. Everything was good? Cool. Did you get a chance to see everybody that you wanted to see? All your family, all your friends? Did you have Friendsgiving? Did you make trips? Did you make rounds to everybody else's house, go around collecting plates, comparing foods and dishes? Did you eat all the food that you wanted to eat? You know, did you get everything, whether it's the mac and cheese, the dressing? We say dressing, you know, where I'm from, we say dressing. Turkey, smoked turkey, fried turkey, you know, however you like it, oven baked turkey. Did you get all of that ham? We don't eat no ham around Robson household, you know. We don't do that. No pork around here. You know, even though his kids try to sneak and get it, think I don't know. But hey, that's for another story. But yeah, man, did you get all the stuff that you wanted? Did you get the rest that you wanted? You know, I know a lot of kids were out, so sometimes the kids might have been getting on your damn nerves, and all you want to do is watch football, man. And it's daddy. Can you do this? Can I do that? Can you take me here? Can you take me there? Can such and such come over? I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get it. But hopefully you got all your rest. Hopefully you started back out. You're refreshed. And you're ready to tackle another holiday, because we got Christmas rolling around coming up in just a few short weeks. And then you got your new year. You want to start everything off fresh. You want to start off on a clean slate. So that means, one, start here. Listen to me carefully, because we're running up on, today is Thursday again. Thanksgiving was last Thursday. I need you to go in your refrigerator, and if you still have any turkey, any dressing, any black-eyed peas, any ham, chicken, ribs, whatever you fix, if you still have Thanksgiving dinner in your refrigerator, go throw that shit away. I'm going, hey, you know, it's your boy G, it's the commission. I'm saying it as clean as possible. Go throw that shit away, man, because you tripping if you still eating it. Like I said, we're running up on Christmas. You got to get your Christmas menu together. You got family coming in town, or you going out of town to visit other family. We got other stuff to do. We can't have you out here getting sick, eating damn week-old leftovers. You don't do it any other time. You don't do it any other time of the year. Ain't no time of the year have you ever looked in your refrigerator and said, hey, that's that chicken from last Saturday. I'm going to go ahead and heat that up. You don't do it then. Don't do it now, man. Don't make yourself sick off these Thanksgiving leftovers. But I'm glad that you were able to get out, eat the food you wanted to eat, see the people you wanted to see, have the rest that you wanted to have, and enjoy yourself. Speaking of enjoying myself, got a chance to come out with my guys again. Sam and Greg on 92.9 The Game. I was on that next morning, the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. I was out there with Sam Crenshaw and Greg Clarkson. Shout out to them. I appreciate them for having me on. And it started somewhat of a big dust up, because I was talking about how I told you guys not to start Cam Newton on your fantasy team. And then I was wrong, because he went out there and he had the 3 touchdowns. And I think he wound up on pretty much everybody's point sheet with about 31 points. But somehow, I don't know what happened in the conversation, it got misheard or misinterpreted. Because I was on with Sam and Greg, and that was like 7:30. I was on a 6:20 break. It was like 6:20, so I got off at 7:30. And at 7:30, man, I was like, shh, I'm going to take me a little nap. You know what I'm saying? Go back to sleep. And I wake up, you know, I start, give me a little food and get back into the football groove, because, you know, you got some college football games that were coming up. I wake up, and before I could even put some food in the oven, I jump on Twitter, my mentions are up, and I'm like, what the hell? So I look on Twitter and it's someone, I won't use their name, but it's somebody who like is bashing me, talking about I'm bashing Cam Newton. And I was like, no. I had to go through and I had to explain what was going on, what was being said. They were talking bad. They were basically talking bad about the show and saying that, oh, they were laughing at what I was saying. And I was Cam Newton bashing and that he's all it. It was a big misunderstanding. Once everything was resolved, I'm assuming it was a young lady. The young lady deleted the tweets and everybody. She attacked everybody from Cam Newton to Carolina Panthers reporters to people on the staff. You know, I was like, oh, whoa, shit, what's going on? So she finally deleted all those. Retracted and was like, I'm sorry, I misheard or misunderstood what you were trying to say after I explained all this stuff. And I was like, damn, you ain't want to at me first? You ain't want to ask me what I meant when I said what I said? You just want to, you know, jump right into the ocean with it, jump right into the deep end. But we got everything cleared up. She understood what I was saying, understood where I was coming from, and deleted all the tweets. I don't know. I'm sure you can't see them anymore other than the initial tweets. I don't know if Sam and Greg even saw it. I haven't gotten a chance to get back at them to see if they saw all the mentions that was going off. But if they were visiting Twitter, I'm sure they saw them. And sometimes it might have been what they wanted. You know, it might have been something to draw up some, you know, some more listeners, some more people going and some more eyes and ears. You know what I'm saying? What was the phrase? No, there's no such thing as bad publicity. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I do appreciate them for having me on. Also, I'm going to do some. I'm telling you, every week I tell you the same thing. I have big things coming up. I have a lot of stuff coming up. I have a few podcasts this week that I'm going to visit. And I'm going to shoot those links out, you know, on my Instagram, on my Twitter, on Facebook. And if you don't know, you can follow me at Commissioner Gordon Robinson on Facebook. You can follow me at the.commissioner.gordon on Instagram. You can follow me at G Robinson Sports on Twitter. And you can follow me at the Commissioner Gordon on TikTok. I recently put up a video on TikTok. I have a video of me not talking sports, but trying beers. So it's crazy. I think it's Yingling has a chocolate porter that I'm trying out and I'm tasting just for you to tell you if you should taste it or not. Shouts out to the Yingling people. If you're out there listening and you want to sponsor the show, I'll let a player. Once again, at the.commissioner.gordon. At the Commissioner Gordon on TikTok. At G Robinson Sports on Instagram. But yeah, so everything was cool. Once again, super shout out to Sam and Greg. My boy Horace, I'm doing his show coming up. And I'll let you know the details of that later on. And without any further ado, let's get on with the conversation.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, I don't know if you've been checking out this college football coaching situation. It is absolutely crazy. It's mind-blowing. Like, so, we've often talked, and I think I touched on it in a few different places, about the USC position being open and it being a great job because USC is in the middle of Los Angeles and California has tons of talent. The Pac-12 is a weak division. And you're in LA, you know what I'm saying? You're in LA, man. Like, when you are out here, think about when USC was popping with like Reggie Bush and Matt Lyon and all those dudes. You had Snoop on the sideline, you had Will Ferrell on the sideline. It was a who's who. So that's a hell of a job for you to get. And then LSU had basically told Coach Ogeron that they weren't rocking with him no more because he was doing all these crazy shenanigans, you know, And so they had all agreed to part ways at the end of the season. So what wound up happening, you have these jobs where people are coming to question coaches. They were questioning Urban Meyer, they were questioning Mike Tomlin, they were questioning all these guys. And some of the coaches came up and said, I'm not going here, I'm not going there, I'm not interested, I'm not doing this. But like I always tell everybody that I talk to, you can't believe what none of these coaches tell you. You can't believe a word that are coming out of their mouth because they're used car salesmen. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. They want to sell you the car. They can't tell you that it got a bad timing belt that don't get you to buy the car. So they won't tell you that I may be looking for the next best job that don't get you to sign your scholarship. And what winds up happening is, just like that, you have Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley leaves Oklahoma to go to USC. After Lincoln Riley had just told everyone that he wasn't going to be the coach at LSU. We find out details on that later. And then Brian Kelly, who was the head coach at Notre Dame, turns around and takes the job at LSU. And what's crazy about that, first of all, I would like to say, I'm not hating on any of these coaches. Neither one of these dudes. I'm not gonna sit here and call them classless. I'm not gonna talk about how they departed and left the kids, you know, hanging or twisting in the wind. I'm not gonna talk about any of those things because I have not been in the position to where I have to make a split decision of a job. I have to make it today, right now, and not be able to confer with my colleagues or the people that I answer to. So I don't know what that situation is like where you say, okay, the job is on the table right now. Boom. If you don't say yes, then we're moving on to Coach X. I haven't been in that position, so I cannot say how they handled it is the wrong way or the right way to handle it. But what I will say is if you are a parent or you're a fan of a program, then this should show you, if nothing else has shown you, this should show you that this is a business. College football is a business. It's not a game. They like to tell you, oh, you got these kids playing a game. It's not a game. It's a business. They like to tell you that these kids are amateurs. They're not. They're not amateurs because the coaches aren't treated as amateurs. The coaches aren't out here doing this for fun. They're not. And you expect a lot of these young kids to hold a certain standard of loyalty that these coaches aren't displaying. And you expect 18, 19, 20-year-old kids to have a certain decorum, have a certain amount of class, have a certain amount of, again, loyalty that 40, 50, 60-year-old men don't give a shit about. They don't care. And it's shown that they don't care. Brian Kelly had a 2-minute interview with his team. He did well enough to text them to tell them, hey, I'm out. I'll talk to y'all about it tomorrow, 7 o'clock in the morning. What? Damn, Lincoln Riley didn't even have the decency to do that. They said he tried to meet up with the team, but by the time he got with the team, they'd heard the news. Everybody was pissed off, and nobody wanted to hear what the hell he had to say. And so he was kind of like another 1-minute hi, bye, sorry, I gotta go type things. And then he hopped on the private jet, hightailed it back to LA. Again, I'm not blaming the coaches because I heard some of the details of some of these contracts, and I can't be mad at you getting that money. But what I can say is, once again, to you as the fan, to you as the parent, don't buy this shit they selling, man. I'm of an age right now where my friends, my colleagues, people that I know and interact with on a daily basis, they have kids who are in high school. I got kids in high school. I got a kid in high school. And some of these kids are good at sports, or they're good at band, or they're doing, you know, they're doing their thing in certain areas. And what happens is, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, tennis, track, golf, you get recruited. And a coach will come and sit in your living room, and he'll tell you how school X is such a great place for you to be, and it's such a loving environment, and you can grow, and you can nurture, and become a model citizen, a great young man, young woman, a scholar, an athlete, and you can conquer the world, but only if you come through the gates of school X. And then he turns to the parents, he'll say, hey, I love your son, I'm gonna take him in, I'm gonna take him under my wing, I'm gonna nurture him, and I'm gonna grow him, I'm gonna water your flower, and I'm gonna bring him up as if he was one of my kids. I'm gonna treat your kid like he's my kid, and I'm gonna treat him like family. Unless that big school call and offer that big bag, and then I'm out this motherfucker. But that's what's happening. The big school comes with the big bag, and then it's like, phew, aha. And in this case, it wasn't even bigger schools. Because if you look at it, and this is what makes it seem like there's no loyalty. This is what makes me say and double down on the loyalty part, because Oklahoma's a dream job. Notre Dame is a dream job. If you ask most coaches in football, and you say, hey, man, if I offer you the Oklahoma job to coach the Oklahoma Sooners, would you take it? Hell yeah. And when I say dream job, I mean, you don't hear about coaches walking away from those jobs. Coaches work to get to those jobs. Coaches leave other schools to get to those jobs. You don't just walk away from an Oklahoma, from a Notre Dame. You either retire from an Oklahoma or a Notre Dame, or you're fired from an Oklahoma or a Notre Dame. You don't just like, I'm going to go over here and coach someplace else. But that's what's happening now. And for each one, there's different, you know, different instances of why they may have left. I personally believe for Lincoln Riley, he didn't want the trouble that comes along with the SEC. It's too deep. It's too much competition. It's too many top-tier head coaches. And Oklahoma or Lincoln Riley wound up looking like, at best, the top three team, the third best team in the conference, at best. And that's hoping LSU don't come back up. That's hoping that Auburn doesn't have a hot recruiting class. That's hoping, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of hopes. It's hoping Jimbo Fisher doesn't get it right at Texas A&M. You're doing a lot of hoping. And in that hoping, you don't look as good of a coach. Because what's going to happen is you're winding up, you're probably going, let's say you go 10-2, 11-1 out here in Oklahoma. What's going to happen when you have three consecutive seasons of 7-5, 8-4, 9-3? Because you can't get past Georgia, you can't get past Alabama, you can't get past, you know, Texas A&M, you can't get past some of these schools. What's going to happen when that happens? So Lincoln Riley was like, you know what, man, I'm out of here, dog. Go over here to Pac-12. Well, all I have to worry about is possibly Oregon, and they ain't no world beaters. If I get my shit together, I'll be big dog, and Oregon will be number two. And in terms of Brian Kelly, I think if you listened to the commissioner's conversation long enough, which dates back to, you know, about a year now. If you listen to the commissioner's conversation long enough, you'll realize that LSU values football over everything. There's been some sexual assault references, there's been some cheating references, cheating scandals, sexual assault scandals. There has been grades, you know, all kind of stuff going on that LSU seemingly will overlook because this young man is part of the football team, or this young lady was associating herself with the football team, and now she's accusing this player of sexual misconduct or whatever. And Notre Dame is not doing that. Notre Dame is putting a limit, is putting a cap on what they will and what they won't do. They're putting a cap on your recruiting, the type of men you can recruit, the type of young men that you can bring into the building. They want to at least put on the facade that we're here to educate these young men. Whereas LSU, like, we just want to play football. Our last three coaches won a national championship. Can you do that, sir? So that's the reason for that. Like, Coach Kelly felt a little handcuffed, felt a little restricted at Notre Dame, and wanted to go to where it was no holds barred, which is Baton Rouge, Louisiana. But back to my original point, man, like, how can you have a family or a young man take you seriously when you're sitting in their living room telling them how they're going to be an extension of your family, how you're going to look out for their best interest, how you're going to treat them like they're, you know, you're their own, and you can't even guarantee that you'll be there the entire time of my collegiate career unless I follow you to wherever the hell it is that you're going to go to next. You can't do it. So, in my mind, and I'm going to put a pin in this later, recruiting has to change. Recruiting is going to have to change. And I always tell people, and people kind of look at me strange when I say, listen, man, this is a business decision. College is a business decision, especially when you're talking about college athletics and when you're talking about recruiting and deciding where to go to school, because there are far more options that you have to weigh than just, ooh, I like school A and I'm going to go to school A, or I want to play for Coach Z, so I'm going to go to school A to play for Coach Z. It's too many more options for that. You have to weigh the option of, where can I play now? Do I want to play for, how important is it that I contend for a championship? Am I willing to compete every year against new, bigger, stronger, faster recruits? Because the school, if they're in the national title business, every year they don't stop recruiting tight ends because you're a tight end and they feel like they got one. No, they're gonna bring 2-3 more tight ends in. At least 2-3 more tight ends in your 3-4 years, though. And you're gonna have to prove every year that you're better than the guy that just brought in this year. Coaching. Is Coach really gonna look after me like he says he is, or is he just blowing smoke? Is he just saying whatever it is he got to say to get me into the university, onto the campus, into the locker room? And then once I get there, does he turn into a whole different guy? Is he going to look after me if I get in a little trouble? Or is he going to bail on me once I get in a little trouble? Because once again, you're dealing with 18, 19, 20-year-old young men and young women, and you're not always making the best decision at 18, 19, 20. So, how's Coach gonna handle me making a mistake? Me having a lapse in judgment? Me being a kid? How is that gonna happen? So recruiting has to change. It has to change. It has to change on both ends. And I've been screaming it on both ends to anybody who will talk to me or who's in that position. And so I've already talked about how it has to change on, like, the parent end. I just told you, like, you have to weigh a whole lot more options. You need to ask way more questions than are being asked currently. Coaches are going to have to handle recruiting differently. You're going to have to stop, like, lying to mom and dad and aunt and grandma, whoever it is, like you're going to raise the child. You can tell me you're going to help keep my son or daughter being a responsible human being by making them make responsible decisions, by encouraging them to make responsible decisions, but all that, I'm going to treat them like mine, I'm going to do this and do that, all this other stuff that a lot of these head coaches do has to change. A lot of these assistant coaches, a lot of this stuff has to change. And I'll give you a story that I found that was funny. I don't know how it went, but it was a Notre Dame assistant coach who was basically talking about when he got the news about Chip Kelly. And he was in the living room of a recruit. He's in the living room. He's giving them the spiel. He's hitting them with it. I don't know, you know, if he's telling him about the family and we'll always be there for you, but I'm sure that's part of the spiel, right? And as he's leaving, he gets the text message that Brian Kelly is leaving. So all this shit he just said to this young man and his family goes out the window. Everything that he just said was a lie. You just sat in that man's living room and lied to him and his family. And, like, whether you go with Brian Kelly to the next destination, or whether you go to your own next destination, or whether you just go and you become the next head coach at Notre Dame, whatever happens to you, now that young man is going to basically sully your name and tell everyone how you lied to his face. And minutes later, he found out that even if he wanted to go to Notre Dame, he probably don't want to go anymore because the coach ain't even going to be there. And to quote this assistant coach, he said, "And now I look like a fucking asshole." And you do. And you do. But again, I say that again to say that there is very little to no loyalty. There isn't any, and you shouldn't expect it. You shouldn't expect them to be loyal to you as a player, because every year, like I just told you, every year they're trying to find somebody to replace you. And so you shouldn't have that. It shouldn't be expected for you to have it to big school university. But they expect you to do it because anytime somebody enters the transfer portal, oh, they roll their eyes, and oh, he can hack it, oh, he's a quitter, oh, he's running away from the competition, and all this and that and that, and they call you all kind of names. But then, the coaches do it, and now it's shining the light on the coaches that are doing it. Kids have always been using the excuse, but coach can leave whenever he wants to. Now, again, when a coach sits in the living room and he's recruiting a child, don't believe that you family. Don't. Just don't. And I referenced the contracts a little earlier. I'll kind of wrap this up. I referenced the contracts a little earlier. From what I saw, and I won't say this is all the way true, but if it is, man, shit, I couldn't blame him. Lincoln Riley is slated to get around $110 million. I'm assuming it's for like 10 years. 10 to 11 years. USC is buying both his houses in Norman, Oklahoma. I'm assuming. So they're saying they're buying both houses. He had two houses in Norman, Oklahoma. First of all, that's nice. But they're buying both of them. And they're paying $500,000 over the asking price. $500,000 over the asking price. $1 million bonus. USC is buying him a home a $6 million home in Los Angeles. You don't have to buy your own crib. And then on top of that, they're giving him unlimited use of the private jet for him and his family. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week access. So if you were just in love with the chili dogs that such and such chili dog, the chili dog house in Norman, Oklahoma, if you just so in love with that and you want to send your cousin down, go to Norman, Oklahoma, get some cheap chili dogs and bring them back. You got use of the jet. You want to go on a shopping spree, you want to go up to New York, you want to do whatever, whatever, your wife want to go, your kids want to go, you know, wherever, got use of the jet. You know what I'm saying? It's nice. So again, I don't blame the coaches. I don't think Brian Kelly's contract was quite that, you know, that nice. I think I saw he was getting 9 years, something like a 9 years, $100 million, like 10 years, $95 million, I believe what the number was, and he was getting bonuses. So yeah, like, I don't blame them, and that's a significant upgrade from what they were all already getting. You know what I'm saying? I think if you're going from 9.5 million, if you get $9.5 million a year, I think he was getting like $7 million or $6 million at Notre Dame. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, oh, $6-7 million to a 9.5. That ain't nothing. Okay. Well, take your $75,000 and then I tell you, you're going to make $100,000 and tell me it ain't nothing. Right? Okay. So, again, I say that to not blame the coaches. I'm not faulting them. I'm just telling you that you need to be making business decisions when they're telling you you should be making emotional decisions. Yeah, those emotional decisions are done with your heart and not with your brain. And that's not how this game is played, because they're playing chess and they're encouraging you to play checkers. Don't fall for it. When they tell you that you're like family, you're not. You're a name on the back of a jersey. And I love you as long as you're winning for me.
Commissioner Gordon.
Real quick news and notes around the NBA. I want to kind of say a little something in terms of how I think we take time, especially in the NBA. In the NFL, not so much, but we take time for granted in the NBA. And we really don't realize that time doesn't wait on anyone. And I say that to say, like, I'm looking at John Wall, and John Wall is going through it with Houston. John Wall eventually, I think he essentially had come to an agreement with Houston, and they talked about how they were basically going to pay him to not play, right? And then they've had some injuries, they've had some things happen, and he has this itch. I think he feels better than ever, and he has this itch, and he wants to play too. And basically, Houston was like, okay, well, cool. How about you come off the bench? And he like, come off the bench? And then I think about Carmelo, like, hey, P, they say I got to come off the bench. But they told him he would come off the bench, and they basically going to limit his minutes. He doesn't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? And part of this is because they don't want John Wall's bad habits to rub off on a lot of these young players. They got a team full of young guys, and they don't want John Wall's bad habits to rub off on their young guys. So they need him to play, but they only want him to play so much. You see what I'm saying? And John Wall, while we don't really think about John Wall as being this old guy, we think about him as being injury riddled. We think about him maybe in terms of being selfish. We think about him in a lot of different, you know, thoughts, but we don't really think about him as being old. And he came out with, I think it was the 2010 draft. 10-11 season ago. Time doesn't wait on you. Yeah, you can play. Yeah, you feel good. But we got a team full of young dudes, and the only reason why we would allow you to get into a game is because some of these young guys are getting hurt. This thing ain't waiting on you. And I say that to say Ben Simmons, with him basically opting to sit out because he's saying, quote unquote, mental health reasons. The crowd booed him in Philly. He's willing to sit out. Well, the game is not going to sit with you. There's going to be a lot more kids that come out that play and can do what you can do. And they're not going to be the headache that you are. They're not going to be as selfish as you are. They're not going to be as demanding as you are. The game is not going to accommodate to you. And I look at that and I think about another guy, DeMarcus Cousins. Boogie Cousins he's in a similar position to where he has kind of a bad rep in terms of an attitude, but he's an enormous talent. He's often been injured the past few years, and the game ain't waiting, man. Like, the only reason he has a job, he just signed with the Milwaukee Bucks. The only reason why they picked him up was because Brook Lopez got hurt. He's out with a bad back. The league don't stand still, man. Kemba Walker is another guy who's out here. He got traded to New York. Everybody thought he was going to be great. Prodigal son has returned. He's, you know, going to put NY on his back. It ain't working out. They got some young guys. They got some chemistry. They got Derrick Rose already, who's a vet. And I don't know. I've heard rumors. Here's a rumor alert. John Wall might be traded to New York for Kemba Walker. I know if I was Houston, I'd be willing to do that. And their contracts are similar. John Wall is a $41 million hit, and Kemba is like $34 million. But I know if I'm Houston, I'd much rather have my young kids learning from Kemba Walker than John Wall. And John Wall, you have an identity already up in New York with Julius Randle, you know what I'm saying, with a bunch of those guys who already have kind of established an identity in terms of their team, and John Wall has to come in and mold himself into that identity and fit into that role, as opposed to him going in and dictating what he's going to do and what he's going to be. But I just said that in reference to, once again, Ben Simmons, who's opting to sit out, or any other player, even Kyrie, who's opting to sit out. The league does not stand still. You may be talented, you may be great, but we make more than one.
Commissioner Gordon.
All right, it's about that time that I make my NFL weekly predictions. I don't currently have the list right in front of me. I apologize for what I did for the last podcast. I was just above 500, but I will say that I was right above 500. So whatever, how many games there were, if it was 15 games, then I was 7-8-7. You know what I'm saying? I was 8-7. I think that's what it was. Right? It wound up being. But still went on losing in the situation. But I wasn't as good as I normally am. And that's because, man, if you've been watching football, these injuries are happening. COVID still happening. Coaches are having COVID. Players are having COVID. And, like I said, once again, injuries. Players are getting sick. I think Lamar Jackson had gotten sick a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't COVID related. He just, you know, didn't feel well. It's flu season. All of these things are happening, and it is impacting these teams. Like, the Cowboys didn't have either one of their damn top receivers. It's happening. You know what I'm saying? The Falcons haven't had top receiver. Like, Calvin Ridley has been out for weeks. And now, if you look at the Tennessee Titans, a team like Tennessee, they don't have their running back. Their family's out. They don't have A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's out. Julio Jones is out. This season has just been crazy. And so I say that to say, I'm not making excuses from some of those predictions, but you got to understand. So, like I said, without any more hesitation, here's what we're going to do. We'll start on today, Thursday, December 2nd. The Dallas Cowboys take on the New Orleans Saints. I'm taking the Cowboys. I cannot see the Saints winning this game. I don't know who's throwing the ball to anyone for New Orleans. I like the Cowboys. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Atlanta Falcons. Yes, Atlanta won a game last week. Yay, hooray. But it was Jacksonville. And I think it's back to life, back to reality, as you take on Tom Brady. But you take on Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm taking the Buccaneers. The Cardinals are taking on the Bears. I still don't know the status of Kyler Murray, but I know the status of the Chicago Bears, so I'm taking Arizona. Like, Arizona's been winning, finding ways to win without their quarterback, and I'm looking for that to continue against Chicago. The Los Angeles Chargers are taking on the Bengals. The Chargers, I don't know what's going on with them, dog, but they haven't been looking like the Los Angeles Chargers that started the season. I don't know if they've been putting restraints on my boy Herbert or what's going on, but they don't look the same. And because of that, I am going to take Cincinnati. The Vikings take on the Lions. Ain't no reason for me to take the Lions ever. They're 0-10-1. I won't pick them. I'm taking the Vikings. The New York Giants are taking on the Miami Dolphins. Maybe Tua has found something, because I don't believe in the Giants. Maybe Tua has found something. He's found a rhythm, and he can put something together. But we'll see, because I'm taking the Miami Dolphins. Philadelphia versus the Jets. Again, I have no idea. Like, Jalen Hurts don't look like it, but the Jets don't look like shit. So where do I go with this? Like, I don't know. So by default, I don't want to pick the New York Jets. So by default, I'm just gonna go with Philly. Maybe they put something together. I don't know. The Colts versus the Texans. I'm not even wasting time. I think Carson Wentz finds a groove, so I'm taking Indianapolis Colts. The Washington Football Team against the Las Vegas Raiders. Washington is, I'm not going to say found something, but they looked pretty impressive last week. Granted, it was the Seahawks, and the Seahawks aren't doing the damn thing this year. But I'm going to take the Raiders. Yeah, I'm going with the Raiders. I think it's beside the defense. I think Derek Carr puts some stuff together and finds his receivers. I don't know. Once again, Waller was hurt during the game in Thanksgiving. I don't know what his status is. I hope that he's okay. So we'll see how that goes, but I'm still picking the Las Vegas Raiders. The Los Angeles Rams are taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not going to waste time. I'm taking the damn Jaguars. I'm taking the Rams. The Baltimore Ravens are taking on the Steelers. The Steelers are not going to like the Steelers. This ain't your daddy's Pittsburgh Steelers. I am taking the Baltimore Ravens. They just found a way to win. The Seattle Seahawks are taking on the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers. Kansas City Chiefs take on the Denver Broncos, I am going with Kansas City. And then on Monday night, I have the New England Patriots taking on the Buffalo Bills. This is a good matchup. It's a top matchup in the AFC East. AFC North. I am going to go with Buffalo, man. Yeah, I'm going to go with Buffalo. It's at Buffalo. It's probably going to be cold as hell. Yep, going Buffalo. So there you have it. There you have it. The commissioner's picks on the commissioner's conversation. And I'd like to send a special shout out to my sponsors at 323 underscore custom underscore apparel at Greenwood Whiskey. I'd like to send a shout out to my producer and engineer, DJ Reese Boogie. And I'd like to send a shout out to you, the listener, for tuning in every week. I greatly appreciate it. Continue to check in. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have a Merry Christmas that's coming up. I will talk to you before that, so I ain't going nowhere. But yeah, I appreciate you tuning in, and until next week, I'll holla.
Okay, bye.